anointed by the Lord. Christian anointing is a sign of spiritual blessing, healing, and consecration. The spiritual anointing of the Lord is manifested outwardly in unique ways for each person as the Holy Spirit empowers and guides us. The scriptural word from which Messiah is derived literally translates as the Anointed One. Jesus accepted his messianic mission in his home church at Nazareth synagogue after reading from the prophet Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The anointing of the Lord in our lives is cast in today's Bible readings with the rich history of anointings throughout human existence since time immemorial. The sacramental anointings continuing in the rituals of today's church celebrate the ongoing action of the Holy Spirit to persist in carrying out the mission of Jesus in every generation. Several Hebrew words in the Old Testament are translated into versions of the English word anoint. The most frequently used refers to consecrating someone or something for a particular purpose, such as in today's reading from 1 Samuel, where David is consecrated to become the king of Israel. One refers to thriving and success, as used in the psalm, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Another word that similarly alludes to the healing and saving grace, as used by the prophet Isaiah. "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off from off thy shoulder, taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." This usage reminds us of the great invitation of Jesus. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Greek words in the New Testament that are translated as forms of the English word anoint shift their emphasis to even more spiritual senses of consecration and providence and salvific healing. We often quote the admonition of St. James in his letter, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven them." Consider how many of these ideas are brought together in the New Testament Greek word charisma, as used by St. John in his letter to all Christians in the New Revised Standard Version. "As for you, the anointing that you received from him abides in you. So you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, abide in him." The anointing of the Holy Spirit is part of our daily lives and relationships. In our reading from Samuel today, and that was the first time I think I've heard that read from the message and then read so well as read by Jenna this morning. Thank you. That was a whole different perspective, wasn't it, on that? For me, it was. Anyway, it opened up some whole new thoughts. But in that reading in chapter 16, verse 13, it said in the King James, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. The Holy Spirit came upon David. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. The Holy Spirit came upon the gathered believers at Pentecost. And then the Holy Spirit has continuously been poured out on all those who come to believe, including us. The promise of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit will eventually be poured out on everyone. Through this spiritual chrisma, anointing, comes the distribution of our chrisms, spiritual gifts. Our calling and consecration are empowered and led by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our personal and corporate lives. Even in the most unlikely circumstances, God anoints us abundantly. In Psalm 23, verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Even in the presence of our enemies, referring to our most difficult times and places in life, God is present to bless us and strengthen us and see us through. Constantly throughout our lives, God is present with guidance, providence, and love. We affirm with the psalmist, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Holy Spirit moves within us and among us and blesses those around us, and through our faith community. We might not know how or why God has anointed us, but we experience the effects. In the gospel reading today, in John chapter 9, verse 25, it said, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Paul noted in his letter to the Corinthians that not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Jesus used the metaphor of the wind in talking with Nicodemus. He pointed out that we can't see the wind blowing, but we can hear it and see its effects. "So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit," he explained. No one knows ahead of time what our lives have in store, so do not worry about tomorrow, Jesus encouraged. Each day we trust and learn and grow and move forward and discover more about life and love and spirituality. Our spiritual gifts and callings are discoveries to be explored throughout this eternal life. We are anointed to please God. In our reading from Ephesians today, chapter 5, verse 10, it said, "Approving what is acceptable unto the Lord." And in the New Revised Standard Version of that verse, it reads, "Try to find out what is pleasing to God." Note this important difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Under the Old Testament, the prevailing thought was that we should find out what was not pleasing to the Lord and try to keep from doing that. People thought they should try to appease God and keep from doing anything that might make God mad, because they were afraid God might rain down terrors of wrathful vengeance on them for the least infractions. Under the New Testament, although some people still have that Old Testament view, we are encouraged to find out what God likes and do that. not from fear, but from love. As our response to the great love we are realizing God has for us and for all, as Jesus demonstrated. Humanity was assigned at creation, in a way anointed at creation, to be stewards of the earth, according to the Bible in the first two chapters of Genesis. Learning how to take good care of God's world, or vineyard, as Jesus used to say in his parables, is one way of pleasing God. That includes the environment, our fellow creatures, and each other. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done," and taught us the same principle in the Lord's Prayer. Reconciling ourselves with God and humanity, even when it sometimes means sacrifice and compromise, is part of the discovery process as we, in the Message paraphrases this verse, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. The key verse in the whole Bible for unlocking the mystery of what pleases God is this all-encompassing commandment Jesus gave: love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Fanny Crosby, in her hymn, "I Am Thine, O Lord," alluded to our being anointed by the Lord. "Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine." In the name of Jesus, amen.